brothers and sisters, we were talking about the love and the true love that can compensate the deficiency of the deeds sometimes. We explained and we concluded that it is possible for a servant that sometimes some of the bodily parts may slip, and sometimes his lowly desires may surround him. But what is certain is that nothing other than the love of Allah, the love of obeying Him, enters the hearts of the righteous ones and those salihin. So, ma'rifah and hub, which is recognition and love, these two together can enable the servant to reach the closeness of the Almighty. This point is brilliantly reflected in the phrase of the supplication, saying, O Allah, I love obeying you even though I have fallen short of it, and I dislike disobeying you even though I have embarked on it. So be gracious to me in granting me the heaven. And this is the fact, the split between the bodily instruments and the instruments of the soul, which we call in Arabic jawarih and jawanih. Jawarih are the bodily parts and instruments, and jawanih are the parts of the soul. The bodily parts sometimes fail to accompany the instruments of the heart, but the jawanih of the righteous ones solely belong to Allah and always succumb to the love of Allah. They are never filled with someone else's love.
Alhamdulillah, khaliq al-khalq, basit al-rizq, faliq al-asbah, dhil jalali wal-ikram, wal-fadli wal-in'am, alladhi ba'uda fala yura, wa qaruba fashahida an-najwa.
If the heart and qalb attains a higher state of purity, if the heart of the person reaches a higher level of sincerity, then the bodily parts would have no way but to obey and submit to it. And rather, in such a case, the bodily instruments would abide with what the instruments of the soul command them and want from them. And at this point, the split and difference between jawarih and jawanih shall disappear as a result of the sincerity of the heart. So if you try to achieve the sincerity of the heart, and then you can even make sure that your bodily parts will not fall short and will not fall behind of the jawanih, will not fall short of your qalb and what is inside your heart. Dear listeners, another aspect of the love of Allah, which is visible, explicitly mentioned in the traditions and narrations and in the supplications of the Ahlul Bayt, the infallible Imams, alayhim salam, is that the love of Allah protects the man from the punishment. If the sins cause a person to fall in the eyes of Allah and expose him to his punishment, then on the other side, there must be something that protects him from his chastisement. If there is a door closed by the Almighty Allah, there are many opened by him.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, هر کجا مشکل جواب آنجا رود. Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. هر کجا کشتی آب آنجا رود. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. آب کم جو تشنگی آور به دست. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. تا بجوشد آب از بالا و پست. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God and the mercy will. God will come towards you. Paradise, thank you Allah. Now that we're here, feeling so good. About all the things that we went through. Knowing that God stays with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true. And we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable. Knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
In this case, Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn, Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, says in a whispered prayer or munajat, O Allah, my sins have indeed frightened me, but my love of you has given me protection. So dear listeners, as you can clearly see, the love of Allah has a kind of twofold action in this case. The first is that it causes the bodily parts to come along with it, not to fall short of the action, not to fall short of the obedience. And even if it does, it acts as a compensation of those deeds and actions. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Thank you for staying with us, dear listeners. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Tell a little about yourself.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this pretty cool Sunday, December 6th, 2020. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is a Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Or if you have any messages for our listeners around the world, then record your voice and send it to us and get your voice heard. Remember, dear listeners, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Keep us company until the end of the program. This is Listeners Special, and as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very useful and important to us, especially to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports, as you may know, enable us to provide a better service to our listeners throughout the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving a QSL card from us normally. However, these days, with the outbreak of coronavirus pandemic around the world, please don't expect a QSL card from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, sending any material on behalf of our radio is temporarily halted due to the pandemic, so please be patient. Until the disease is controlled around the world, then IRIB English Radio can get back on track and send you paper QSL cards and also the souvenirs of IRIB English Radio. And here, I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Musharraf Hussain Jahangir from India, Hasna from India also, and Zach Alvarez from the Philippines. Musharraf Hussain, Hasna, and Zach Alvarez, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Thank you again. And also a million thanks to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us letters and emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during our program, I will read their letters and emails, including Ivan Zeleny from Russia. Ivan Zeleny is one of our regular listeners who has sent us an email. And Arun Kumar from India also has sent us an email. From Italy, we have an email from Enzo Pistone. Enzo Pistone is also one of our regular listeners. Also, we have an email from Sweden. This email is from Jarl Sinevak. And we have an email from Chris Malbouf from British Columbia, Canada. Dear listeners, stay with us until the end of the program. I will be back with all these kind messages just in seconds. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and here we have an email from Russia. This email is from Ivan Zeleny, one of our regular listeners. Ivan says, "Thank you for your letter. In our country and in my city, coronavirus no longer particularly affects people's lives. Therefore, my wife and I enjoy wearing masks in public places. We often use hand sanitizers and strictly follow all the recommendations of epidemiologists. When we get home from the store, we immediately thoroughly disinfect all food packages and bags, clean our shoes, and constantly do wet cleaning with disinfectants. Polyclinics and hospitals all have begun to accept fewer patients with various chronic diseases, as patients voluntarily do not want to create an extra burden on tired doctors. We also rarely visit doctors because in a few months, we mastered simple medical knowledge. Many residents of my city, through social networks on the internet, constantly write words of gratitude to doctors. I wish all IRIB staff and their families good health. First of all, salam and greetings to you, Ivan Zeleny from Russia. And thank you for writing this email to us. It's good news. The situation regarding coronavirus in your country, as you mentioned, is great. And that's good news. We hope the disease is controlled globally around the world. And anyone affected by coronavirus gets healthy very soon. Again, thank you for writing to us, and we wish all the best and good health for you and your family, and also all the Russians and all people around the world. Ivan Zeleny from Russia, write to us very soon. We're looking forward to hearing from you soon in the future. Tell us which programs you like the best in your upcoming emails. Stay healthy and safe. Also, we have an email from Sweden. This email is from Jarl Sinevag. Jarl says, "Now, finally, a small bit of criticism. I have not got any QSLs from IRIB, and I feel rather unhappy about it. I'm expecting a change to the better during the year 2020. With all the very best to you all from your listener in Sweden. First of all, greetings to you, Jarl Sinevag from Sweden, and thank you for writing this message to IRIB English Radio. I wish you're doing fine, and regarding your comment about not receiving the paper QSL cards, I have to note that it's pretty normal. Please don't get unhappy about that. As you may know, with the outbreak of coronavirus around the world, we can't send any item, any material, including paper QSL cards and souvenirs of IRIB English Radio to you. And that is due to protocols and hygienic rules and regulations. So please let this mutual relationship keep on. And keep in touch with us in upcoming emails. And anyway, tell us your views about our programs. You can listen to the radio and enjoy it, to IRIB English Radio, and tell us your views about our programs. Anyway, as you mentioned, and as I have said several times during our programs, please don't worry about that. As the disease is controlled around the world, IRIB English Radio can get back to the tradition of sending its dear listeners, as you may know, the souvenirs, the postcards, and the paper QSL cards. Thank you again for writing to IRIB English Radio, Jarl Sinevag from Sweden. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails from around the world. Welcome back. Here we have an email from N. Arun Kumar from India. N. Arun Kumar says, "I am Kumar from Chennai or Madras, a coastal city in southern part of India. Thanks for your mail. In India, as we have several persons affected with COVID-19 disease, some states like Tamil Nadu, where I live, have announced lockdowns to curtail the spread of COVID-19 disease. I keep myself engaged listening to shortwave radio stations like IRIB English Radio. I have a lot of books which I did not read because of my busy schedule before the COVID-19 lockdown. But now, as we cannot go out because of the lockdown, I have started reading the unfinished books. As I am a radio operator, I get connected to other radios across the world to get to know about COVID-19 disease spread in their countries. Me and my 8-year-old son, Pranav Arun Kumar, are philatelists collecting stamps of several countries. So we browse online websites like Stanley Gibbons, India Post, Australia Post, Pitcairn Island, Iran, etc. to get to know more about the new stamps released in their country. Thanks and regards." First of all, greetings to you and Arun Kumar from India. I do express my gratitude for writing to us and for sending us this email. And thank you for letting us know about the situation about coronavirus in your country, about the outbreak of coronavirus. And what a pity. You said that you mentioned about the number of COVID-19 cases in your country and in your province. In your state, as you said, Tamil Nadu, where there are reports of coronavirus cases. We hope everything gets back to normal regarding all the people around the world. And you mentioned that as a profession, you are a radio operator. It's a nice job. It seems that you deal with different radios around the world. That's great. Write to us very soon, Arun Kumar from India. We hope everything gets normal regarding the coronavirus disease. Stay safe and healthy, and we're looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Also from Italy, we have an email from Enzo Pistone. Enzo Pistone is one of our regular listeners. Enzo says, thank you for your email. Regarding your question, definitely, I would prefer to receive confirmation for reception reports via email. Often it has happened that any correspondence sent by IRIB to me has arrived with delay. In a couple of occasions, I received no QSL card or correspondence at all. Definitely sent from Tehran, then lost in the post. So yes, I am all in favor of electronic QSL cards. Kind regards. Enzo Pistone, salam and greetings to you, or ciao. I wish you're doing fine in Italy, and lots of gratitude for writing to us. Also, many thanks for reflecting your views, your comments about confirmation or reception reports. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Tell us which programs you like the best in IRIB English Radio. Enzo Pistone from Italy. Thank you again. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from our dear listeners around the world. Welcome back. One of our regular listeners, Chris Malbouf, has sent us an email. Chris Malbouf is from Canada, from British Columbia province. Chris says, hope all is well with you. The pandemic situation here in my country, Canada, is between good and bad, as there have been new cases of the virus. We are now allowed to travel within the province, and businesses are slowly opening and everything is restarting. Past the time, I like to read and go out for a walk and listen to my shortwave radio. I have not found any new hobbies yet. I will find one. And when I don't feel the threat of the virus, the one place I would like to go is the town of Mendocino to see the Point Arena Lighthouse and the ocean. Anyhow, that's all I have to say. Hope I will be able to listen to your station as I haven't been able to yet. With my regards, sincerely. And greetings to you from the Islamic Republic of Iran, Chris Malbouf from British Columbia, Canada. Hope you're doing fine. Many thanks for this email, and also thanks for letting us know about the situation of COVID-19 in your country and in your province, British Columbia. We hope to hear good news about the control of the disease very soon. Tune in to IRIB English Radio and enjoy this station, IRIB English Radio, during the lockdowns. As you said, you found it as a hobby to listen to shortwave radio, and also it seems that you're planning to visit the ocean and the lighthouse. Anyway, stay safe and healthy, and write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon. Dear listeners, stay with us. Because here we've reached the section of this week's interview, which is conducted with one of our regular listeners. We hope you'll enjoy it.
Yes, my name is Chris Jensen. I'm living in Belgium. I'm Belgian. I'm working as a civil servant for the government here in Belgium, but I also travel a lot because traveling is my passion, and especially traveling to the Middle East. I've been visiting many countries in the Middle East, and last year I visited also Iran, which was a very, very nice experience. Yes, I'm listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, so Tehran Radio, and several mediums. I'm listening to it on shortwave, but also on the internet and on satellite, and I think listen on different medium to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. So to my opinion, shortwave is still alive and it's not a dead medium. I think it has still a bright future in it. Yes, I want to send my greetings to everyone, and I call upon them to, if they can, visit Iran yourself, because as I said before, there are many misconceptions about Iran here in the Western world, and my experience last year was a wonderful experience. I experienced Iran as a very friendly country with friendly people. It's a very modern country with good infrastructure, and everywhere where I came, people were open to me, people tried to help me. So I'm calling upon the listeners, please visit the country yourself. It's the best way to get an idea about Iran and to learn about the country.
Dear listeners, you just heard a beautiful piece of music from north of Iran. And here we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special, the Sunday program. Many thanks for being with us, and goodbye.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters, I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of Insights into the Holy Quran. And in this edition of the program, we'll discuss the 22nd chapter of the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Hajj, or Pilgrimage. Before moving on, let's just listen to some verses of this chapter, and we'll be back with you. Stay with us.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
الذين إن مكناهم في الأرض أقاموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وَلِلَّهِ عَاقِبَةُ الْأُمُورِ.
And they are those who, if we give them authority in the land, establish prayer and give zakah, and enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong. And to Allah belongs the outcome of all matters.
So, my dear listeners, as you have been previously with us, you already know that we were into the 41st verse of this chapter, Surah Al-Hajj. الَّذِينَ إِن مَكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةُ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةُ وَأَمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهَوْا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَلِلَّهِ عَقِبَةُ الْأُمُورِ. Those who, if we establish them in the land, they perform prayer and they pay the alms and enjoin good and forbid evil, and unto Allah belongs the end of the affairs. So this verse was an interpretation upon the friends of Allah, whom have been promised the help of Allah in the previous verse. And these are the kinds of people who, after being victorious, they never make themselves busy with the pleasures of this life, and they never change into a tyrant after being empowered. They keep their relation with the Almighty Allah, and at the same time, they keep their link with Allah through giving alms. So there are actually four qualities being counted for these people. First, they aqamu salah, they perform the prayer, wa atawu zakah, they pay the alms, and they enjoin good and forbid evil. So you see, these four qualities alone are enough for introducing such people. It is under the light of them all that other worships, righteous deeds, and specialties of being a believer and being a faithful for society can be provided. Although it should be noted that the Quranic word الَّذِينَ إِن مَكَّنَّاهُمْ, the word مَكَّنَّا, is derived from تَمْكِين, and this means to supply the means and equipments, irrespective of the necessary tools, sufficient knowledge and awareness, and as well as the physical and mental abilities. Also, the Quranic word ma'ruf means some good and right actions, while the word munkar otherwise means ugly and wrong deeds. And since the word ma'ruf has been provided for any purified person, and it is referred to the man's nature, but the second one is rather unknown and it's not adapted to the man's nature. So, at the end of the verse, the Holy Quran says, "And unto Allah belongs the end of all affairs." وَلِلَّهِ عَقِبَةُ الْأُمُورِ So, this phrase means that as the beginning of all powers and victories is from the side of Allah, the end of all things returns to Him as well. The Holy Quran states, "Verily we belong to Allah, and certainly unto Him shall we return." إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ
على مر الزمان تألقا وأضاء للدنيا طريقا.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom.
At the beginning of this verse, it said, "الَّذِينَ إِن مَكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ." So, those are the people who, if they are established in the land, they perform prayer and they pay the alms. So, doing and having actually all these four characteristics that were counted for these people, specifically those two last characteristics, أمروا بالمعروف ونهوا عن المنكر, enjoining good and forbidding evil, we need to be empowered before getting into these affairs. It needs some sort of power before being done. So, wherever we have the power, even if it is on the land, in مَكَّنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, we have to go to achieve the divine goals that the Almighty Allah has set for the objectives. And it is interesting that whenever salat and performing the prayer is mentioned in the Holy Quran, paying the alms is mentioned along and right after that as well. And after doing the things that the Almighty Allah had ordered, we have to refer to Him. We have to rely on Him, since لِلَّهِ عَقِبَةُ الْأُمُورِ Even if you do all the things we prepared you to do, you have to rely on Him for the end of the affairs. Because the facilities, the equipments, all you are having in this world, whatever you have, is not permanent. It is temporary, and that's why you have to rely on the Almighty Allah, which is all-knowing, which is endless. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us. We will still continue talking about this rather important verse during the later programs. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see. All the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets this life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care.
Things always worked for me. Worry ends when faith begins.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids? That is, from the very beginning of the birth.
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To all our brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Islamic Upbringing, where we discuss problems and questions parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. The answers that you will be listening to are mostly based on the book Children in the Quran and Sunnah, compiled by Ayatollah Ray Shahri. And we have in the studio with us our guest speaker, Brother Mighdad, who is an Islamic researcher in the Hawza Ilmi of Qom. Brother Mighdad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you very much for coming over. It's always nice to have you here.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. The pleasure is all mine.
So we've received an interesting question. It goes back to our previous episodes. It reads that you've mentioned a few times before, don't mention God and religion to children very early on. The person who's asked this question says, I disagree with that because religion is very important and it needs to be talked about very early. So I think a lot of people have the same question. They're very concerned about the religious future of their children, so they want to start as early as possible before their children are influenced by other factors and other teachings.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So first and foremost, Islam is very important, and I'm very happy that this question has been raised. And I like people to disagree with me because it creates discussion, so thank you very much for that. And when we say don't talk about religion as such with your children, I don't think I've ever said that in those words. But you have to understand that we don't mean to say this that one, God forbid, religion is not important. On the contrary, religion is so important that this is why we need to discuss about the methodology to ensure that the religion is learned properly. And when we say don't talk about religion to your children very early on, there's two things to this, right? The first one is related to the rational aspect of the religion, right? When I sit down with you and I try to explain to you that there is a cause for every cause, and the ultimate cause has to be something that doesn't have a cause itself, otherwise it'll become a tasasul, it'll be a continuous thing, and therefore it'll be impossible, and therefore there has to be a God, right? You don't talk to that like this with an 8-year-old, right? Even with a 10-year-old, it doesn't work, right? Or you, for example, sit down with them and explain to them that they have to pray because the Quran has said this, and there's different aspects to the prayers, and you go on at a lengthy discussion about the philosophy of prayer and the ahkam of prayer. Again, it's not something that will really have the benefit or will really have the effect that you want, which is the affection and the attachment to the salah, right? On the other side, you have talking about religion and discussing religion and having religion present in our life, but without need to mention it, right? Without the need to actually talk about it in a way that is beyond the capacity of the child, right? So when we're at home, we talk about God. We say Bismillah before eating. When it's time for prayers, we have the adhan and we pray namaz, we pray salah. When it's fasting on the days of the month of Ramadan, we fast, we break our iftar together. So religious things happen around us, and we're creating positive association to those religious things, right? And this is what's necessary.
So to wrap up this piece, we're saying that children don't have that kind of philosophical mind to argue and study different arguments and stuff like that. But what they see in their family, that itself is religious teaching.
Exactly.
Thank you. Let's take a break, and after the break we'll be back to discuss this topic more. Don't go away.
IRIB English Radio presents A Priceless Gift to Parents. Do you have problem with your kids?
I have two boys. One is 5-year-old and the other one is 3.5. And they constantly fight and wrestle with each other, and it often gets to a dangerous stage.
My 18-month-old daughter has learned to eat by herself, and she just refuses that I feed her. But usually, all the food basically goes everywhere except her mouth. So how can we allow this israf to happen for the purpose of freedom?
Don't worry. We're here to help.
For a child, the purpose of the food is only to feed. It's also for him to learn. It's also for him to explore and fulfill the need of curiosity, fulfill the need of freedom.
Islamic upbringing. Contact us. English Radio at irib.ir.
You're back on IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic upbringing. We're talking about whether sometimes it's too early to talk about religion with our children. So you were saying that just before the break, you don't have to actually talk to them about the logic behind religion and keep mentioning it to them. But the fact that they see that they're living in an environment, a religious environment, is itself, at that age, religious teaching to the children. Can you please expand on that?
The reason we're saying this is because we always have to do tarbiyah, or work with a child to his or her own capacity. Right? This is a fundamental principle that we have. That teaching always happens according to capacity. Right? This happens also in the physical world as well. When you go to the gym, for example, if your trainer gives you 100 kilo to lift on the first day, okay, you'll fire him, right? And you'll be a very unhappy person for the next 2 weeks. Why? Because you didn't have the capacity to lift it. Right? If a brand new tree, if you give a lot of water to the brand new tree, you know what's going to happen to the tree? It's going to die, right? Everything has its needs, okay? And these needs has to be met according to its capacity. A child who's 7 or 8 or 9, 10 has a capacity and understanding certain things. And to give more than its capacity would do nothing but damage. And what's important to realize is this damage will not necessarily be seen at that particular moment, right? It might take a few weeks or months or even years at times, and you realize that the damage that was created is so deep because I made a mistake of talking about God way too early and spoiling everything for the rest of the next few years, right? So we have to be careful. This is a fundamental principle. Even the Prophet were instructed to this, right? The Prophet were told, you are instructed to speak to the people according to their uqul, according to their intellectual capacity,
their understanding.
Exactly. And if you look at the way the human being grows from birth till childhood, till teenagehood, till adulthood, you see that the aql is growing. You see that the intellectual capacity to understand certain things is growing as well. And we need to be able to understand that. We need to be able to follow that and go along with that. Not try and impose something much more heavy on the child than he can actually bear.
And let's talk about then, a parent might be adamant that they want to teach their children about religion. And we're saying that you can do it with demonstrations. Let's talk about some of the examples. For instance, when we're having food, when we say Alhamdulillah, that itself is a teaching about God subhanahu wa ta'ala. That this is a blessing that has come from God subhanahu wa ta'ala. What other examples can you give us?
So just on that example, see, what you've done is that we've just made an allusion to it, right? We talked about Allah, we said Alhamdulillah, we've got the habit of saying Alhamdulillah. So it's a word that's not heavy on me anymore. It's a word that I can say it very clearly. I say it quite often. It's part of my culture now, that whenever something good happens, I say Alhamdulillah. It's okay if you say it even without understanding. You don't have to translate it for a four-year-old or for a five-year-old, right? But it's so nice that a five-year-old says Alhamdulillah. The word itself has blessings. The word itself is part of a habit that will inshallah carry on till the end. A positive association with the word. This is how we live, basically, that when something good happens, we say Alhamdulillah. The mistake is when you sit down and say, okay, let me explain to you, that when you say Alhamdulillah, it means that all praise belongs to Allah, right? The reason why is because everything that we have goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what you're doing, you bring about explanations about something that a child doesn't really understand. And a child will then ask questions according to their own capacity. Be like, but what do you mean? I got my milk from the cow, right? Or you gave it to me. Like, I don't understand, what does it mean, God? Like, wait, did he come here last night? Did he knock on the door and drop some food for us? And you end up in a discussion that you don't know how to answer anymore, because obviously you have to go into a philosophical discussion about this, right? And you've just created a doubt or a question for no reason. And neither do you have the ability to answer it, nor does the child have the ability to answer this or understand the answer to this question.
Okay, let's take a break and let's ask a question just about that example after the break. Stay tuned.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, if someone has a newborn child, he must recite the adhan in his right ear and the iqama in his left ear, for this will bring security from the cursed Satan.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Islamic Upbringing. We're saying that it's sometimes too early to talk with children about the details and the logic of religion. And just before the break, I said, for instance, when we're having food, we can say Alhamdulillah. And that is a demonstration and a teaching to children about God subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you said that the mistake here is to go ahead and explain to the child why we're saying Alhamdulillah, because they won't understand it, that this has come from God. They think that God has come in person and delivered the milk or whatever to us. But what if we get stuck with the child asking us, why are you saying Alhamdulillah?
If you haven't brought it to the attention of the child, children don't usually ask these questions.
So okay. If they're asking that question, it means that they have the capacity for some explanation?
Not necessarily. It means that people have been talking about it and it raised a question in them. Now, how do you answer the question? Okay, forget why they ask the question. But what do you do when they do ask this question? Then you answer in a way that doesn't create more doubt. You answer in a way that doesn't create more question. You answer in a way that actually satisfies them and they go back to playing, right? See, the key things I want to quite put across is that before the age of 7, 8, okay, a child's need is primarily based on playing, on satisfying this imagination and their power of imagination, the power of play basically they have inside them. It's freedom that they need, children, is this is what they need to satisfy. Once they've done that, the aql is then ready to slowly acquire understanding. If we change the things, the way things are working, and impose kind of understandings before the age of 7, before the age of 6, basically, okay, you're creating damage, basically. Not only have you left certain needs unanswered, okay, but you're actually damaging the child by giving them something more heavy than they can bear.
So I want to pull something out from our previous episodes again. And one of the things that you emphasized a lot on our previous episodes, that at small ages, it's all about creating a relation between religious identity and a child. Because children decide mostly based on the relation that they have and the feeling that they have towards other things. So just want to get this through and correct me if I'm wrong. The whole idea is that we want to create a relation, an identity, a connection with our Islamic heritage, but not necessarily to understand the logic and all of that behind the curtains.
Exactly. So identity, affection, pride, all these things come through an emotional, the emotional door, basically. It doesn't come through a rational understanding of things. Pointing out or opening doors for more questions, for more doubts, won't create this this thing. On the contrary, actually might even damage some of the affections, some of the emotional things that we have, attachment that we have to the religion.
Because it stops making sense.
Exactly, many times, right? So the key is that before the age of seven, really just we need to throw all the balls into this emotion, into this association, positive association, into this affection towards the Ahlul Bayt, affection towards our role models, making it the most attractive things in the world, that there is nothing more beautiful than Islam, nothing more amazing than the Ahlul Bayt, and nothing more beautiful than a trip to Karbala, basically.
So, just as our final question to this program, to this episode, some parents out there now might be worried that they're going to ruin the religious future of their children. It might sound a little bit complicated to them. Do you have books that you can recommend for parents to read that will kind of act like a guideline or help them understand what they have to do at whatever stage they are with their children?
The answer is, I haven't found any books in the English language that may answer the questions. There are quite a few in the Persian language. Hopefully, we can put a team together to translate these books.
Okay, well, until then, we're here at your service on this show to answer your questions, and we hope that we can be of the utmost help to you. If you missed this episode, don't worry. You can always download an archive of this episode and previous ones from our website. Simply visit parstoday.com. That's parstoday.com, and find our Call of Islam page. You can also email us at englishradio@irib.ir. That's englishradio@irib.ir. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Islam solves all of its problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Year 1979 was the last time China was engaged in an all-out military war. China suffered such a high casualty that since then, modernization of Chinese army has become a top priority for every leader in the country. More than 40 years later, those modernization efforts are bearing fruit. China's People's Liberation Army is now recognized as one of the strongest militaries in the world.